Shmuel's more of a Rabosai. We're used to the notion of Sheis Achiris. Tzias Mitzrayim, Shabbos, Amol, Miriam, Chede Egel, Magen Har Sinai. It's very interesting. If you look at the Magen Avraham, the beginning of Hilchos Kriyas Shema, quotes from the Arizal, says that each one of the Sheis Achiris find their way somehow into the bracha of Avarava before Kriyas Shema. But if you make a count there, he actually has seven. And instead of just leaving it at Magen Har Sinai, he also adds Matan Torah. What part of Avarava requires me to contemplate Matan Torah specifically? Uvonavacharta. Clearly, Matan Torah is not just about delivering the laws, but the Bechira of Klal Yisrael, to the extent that, because that is so integral to what the event meant, every single day, as individuals in our brachas, as a tzibor for each aliyah, we proceed with the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu, an Avarava, which can function as Brachas HaTorah, concludes also the same life, Bachar Banu Yisrael B'Avar. Now the Bechira that came through Matan Torah, it's so fundamental to Yiddishkeit that it's also really jarring when you consider the fact that there's a Medrash we know from kindergarten, and perhaps because it's so familiar to us, we barely notice the contradiction that it presents. Zos HaBracha, Pasuk says, Vayomar Hashem Misinai Bo. Rashi describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, as it were, coming out to greet Klal Yisrael the Kala, in the same way that a chassan would do the same in anticipation of the joy of the chassan. But where exactly is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming from at that moment? Pasuk continues, Zorach Meseir Lomo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, Pasach Lidnei Esav, Rashi says, Sheikabu HaTorah, Lo Ratzu. Vayter in the Pasuk, Hofiyah Me'ar Parah. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu go after it? Bnei Esav, he went to Bnei Yishmael. And of course they also said no. The problem is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very busy that day. We were sleeping, Medrash says, and the Ribbono Shel Olam was trying to give the Torah to everybody else. To Bnei Yishmael, Bnei Esav, they all said no. You look in the Sifri and the Medrash, the list goes on. Bnei Amon, Bnei Moav, and everybody else. Okay, we know they said no. But only at the very end, when everyone else rejected the offer, so then HaKadosh Baruch comes and selects the Jew. That's our Bechira. Bechira Sa'am Yisrael is after everyone else says no. If you ask me, it doesn't sound like a chasam, it's more like a shidduch crisis. Yeah, everyone's rejecting. And then, okay, by default, Asher Bachar Bono Mikol Ha'ama, which Am? There were none left. When Tommy got to Klal Yisrael, there was no one else. We're missing something on both sides. Moreover, the Medrash is troubling for another reason. Look at the list. Look at the list that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on the table. The deal for the Umos Olam, the way that he represents Torah to the other nations, Osirtzach, Osinach, Osignov, right? There's a common thread over here. What exactly did Hashem try to give him? The Zion Mitzvah of Noach? It's a Chiddush? Understand. They had it before. They're supposed to be observing it. Said, oh, before I go to Klal Yisrael, first let me offer them the Zion Mitzvah. They already had that. So something's wrong in the Medrash again, the way we're understanding it. What happened? So take a step back and look at a big picture for a moment. There's something very unique and consistent at the same time. Anytime we refer to Matan Torah, Chazal refer to it singularly as Maimed Har Sinai. This lashon of Amida, of standing, is literally ubiquitous in this context. Look in Parshas Vaschanan. Vodatim levenachol v'nei v'nachol yom asher amadito l'fnei Hashem al-kach v'chori. A few psukim v'yter, v'tikrvun v'ta'amdun tach zahar. Come back to our parsha in Perek Yutes. Vayisyatzvu b'sach zahar. And again in Perachot, Vayara on vayanu vayamdu merachot. My Rebbe Revilson always used to say in Shir, once is a diak, twice is a yisod. Rebbe said there must be quite a yisod over here. The Amida. What's the Amida? What's even more striking is if we move away from the Gilui Shechina that occurred at Har Sinai and examine other occasions of Gilui Shechina that are described in Tanakh, we find mamish, the opposite phenomenon. Parsha Shmini, Vatetze Eishmo Pnei Hashem, Vatocha Al Mizbech, Asa'ola, Vatzachalov, Mayar Kalam, Vayaronu, Vayiplo Pnei Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends down a fire from Shemayim, and how does everyone react? They're not standing. Everyone's on their face. Aleo Bar Karmel, Vatipol Eish Hashem, Vatocha, Asa'ola, Vatzaitim, Vatzavonim, Vachulei. Next passage, Vayar Kalam, Vayiplo Pnei Hashem. Vayom Hashem Olkim, Hashem Olkim. Why is the reaction so different? Why is Har Sinai, where there's plenty of fire, Har Bor Vayishad Leva Shemayim, but there's a fire, everyone falls on their face, and here, it's a Yom Asher Amarta. Shua from Parshas Vayeshlach makes this ha'ara about Amida. And he explains that we see clearly that Ma'ad Har Sinai in a different league. So it was no Nevuah, which also, look through Tanakh, Nevi'im are constantly falling on their face when the Baruch speaks to them. Wasn't ordinary Gilas Shechina either. When Moshe Rabbeinu is retelling the story in Devarim, and he describes, punim v'punim, Dibar Hashem Imachem, essentially, what happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to imbue Klal Yisrael with a special koach, which Nevi'im didn't always have this chus to receive, a special koach to be able to withstand, in a literal sense, this unparalleled encounter where all other types of Gilas Shechina would overwhelm the person who was watching. And the purpose was to be the Malamid Torah L'Am Yisrael, to transmit the Torah to the Jewish people in the most profound sense. There had to be an Amida, not just to be a spectator at Matan Torah, but the experience required that they receive the strength to be able to take it all in a literal sense, and still walk away standing strong. L'hachzik ma'ama. Underlying this word, I think, is that Klal Yisrael Har Sinai, we said they couldn't simply be spectators. They needed to be active players for the success of Kabbalah Satorah, and we see that from the Achanas, days of preparation. This, L'chor, is the background to how Rav Schwab answers our original questions in a totally different piece in Parshas Zoso Bro. Bottom line, Rabosai, you open up the first pasuk in Sefer Torah, Rishis Bar Elokim, Zok Rashi, B'Shvil HaTorah, Shnikur Rishis, B'Shvil Yisrael, Shnikur Rishis, Yom HaShishi, Hosef Hei B'Shishi, B'Gmar Ma'isav Rishis, Lomar Shehisli, Imam HaMenashe, Kabo Olam, Yisrael, Chamin Shechol Jik Torah. The world was created for Torah. The world was created for Klal Yisrael. You put those two together, the result is a universe whose entire existence is contingent upon Klal Yisrael's acceptance of the Torah and the Bechiras Yisrael. The Bechiras Yisrael. It was inevitable. It was intended from the very beginning. Notwithstanding the fact that there was this conversation with the Goyim. But what emerges is that Matan Torah was not simply a communication of the laws, as we said, the content of the Torah. Explains to Schwab, what happened at Matan Torah was the transformation of the Makabli HaTorah themselves. There were plenty of mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael had earlier. Shabbos, Bris Mila, Gedanosh, and others. But at the time, they constituted merely an asiya for those who received those commandments. In the words of Rav Schwab, when Matan Torah came, Torah, Chachmas HaBorei, was injected into the Pnimiyas HaNefesh. They had to withstand that Giloy in an unprecedented fashion because it was directed to their very core. So that's a pshat. Rav Alexandri's Tefillah and Brachos, David Zion. Gol HaVidul HaFanachah Sh'Ratzonein Alasos Tisonfa. Ingrained in the Neshama is the connection to Ratzon HaTorah, Ratzon Hashem, and it's the Atchi Yom HaRotani in Hilchos Gerushin. Chora, that's the pshat in the Rambam, Pirush Mishnayis, and Chulin, that a person today has to fulfill every single mitzvah in the Torah because it was commanded at Har Sinai, not because it came to the Avos, even if it came to the Avos first. Rav explained in a very similar vein that that's what's going on 9 months while a child is learning Torah with the Malach in his mother's womb, even if he forgets all of it, but it's being ensconced in his neshama, the Ratzon HaBorei and the connection to Torah. Rav Schwab also has the same word about the mother's womb, but he adds on another nekuda. He says, the Belt asks the Kasha on the Seder night, Tisha Miodea. Right, so what's nine? Nine is Yachei Leila. All the 13 things in the song, it's the only one that has absolutely nothing unique about a Yiddishkeit. What, 9 months? What the Shaykh is? So he says, now we understand. Elamai does, because that's the Bechir of Klal Yisrael, Dafka. So Hashem offered that to the Goyim. He offered to the Goyim, albeit only in the form of Zion mitzvahs, and they rejected it. That's where the conversation with the Goyim was. Only about the Zion mitzvahs. That's why those are the only ones that are mentioned. I think, Anis Daiti, Rosh Rav Yisod, is clear from a deacon in the Medrash. What does it say in the Medrash? Rashi, when he quotes it, does a bracha, only says, lo rotzu. The Lashon HaSifri is like this. Amru lahem lo sirta. Amru, kol atzvam shalosam anoshim v'avim rotzehu. Nochamo, when it comes to the signal, how do they respond? The Goyim say back, Amru lo kol atzvam avim lisimoy. Shenemar v'avu yeh per avim. The rejection of the Umas Olam wasn't simply we're not interested. It was much more fundamental. Even if we wanted to be Makabal Torah, we couldn't because kol atzvam shal avim. You want to turn Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu into a chepso of Ratzon Hashem? It's impossible. It's a stir in Eivet to our Pnimiyas HaNefesh. Only Klal Yisrael received the Torah in such a profound sense that it was translated into this transformation of the Pnimiyas HaNefesh. Recently I had occasion to share a story with the Chaver Mashir, something that happened about a year or two ago. I walked into a room where there were a bunch of guys standing around talking, and the one who was speaking had his back to me, had his back to the door, and apparently he had said something which is inappropriate. I didn't hear, Baruch Hashem. He was laughing, and all the other guys who saw me walk in, they weren't laughing. It's a classic awkward rabbinic moment, at least for them. So the guy who was laughing sees that no one else is laughing along with him, and he turns around and he gives me one of those, "Sorry, Rabbi, I didn't know you were here." So, familiar scenario for anybody? Because he set me up for it. So I responded by saying, "No, don't apologize to me. You should apologize to yourself," or something rabbinic like that. And he says, no, Rabbi, no. You're like a messenger. You're a representative of God." I wasn't giving up so easily. I knew the guy, so it wasn't totally weird. I said, "Last time I checked, so were you. You're also a messenger of God." Trying to be in Kashim Shemayim Lebriya. "Oh, no, Rabbi, you don't understand. God's much closer to you." To which I responded, that's where you're mistaken. That's where you're mistaken. We'll say sometimes we're all mistaken. We all miss that point. This is where the Yitzhar gets the most ground. We have a term that we use in English about being close to Hashem. In our vocabulary, the term kurba has a strong basis. But in our vocabulary, often that gets mixed with the translations we're used to, which is a measure of distance. So when you use the term kurva enough, what comes out is a danger of misinterpreting that and evaluating how close or far I am from Hashem, which is ridiculous. It's irrelevant. Distance-wise, me or anyone else, we're all equidistant from Shemayim, if you're going to think in those terms. That's not how we define how close we are to Hashem. Kurva, b'chora, is better to translate as awareness. How aware I am of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. The same way that Dvekus doesn't literally mean attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but how much are my thoughts preoccupied with and focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be kurva means to be aware, because the proximity, in the literal sense, is immediate. The neshama, transformed by Matan Torah, as Rav Schwab said, to achieve chayol natha b'sochenu, as he says in another piece, in Pinchas, to become chaviv, to be called banim, as it says in Pirkei Avos, that sets us apart, that negates the question of distance. And instead, it begs the question of awareness. To contemplate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maimed each and one of us, to assimilate, to integrate the power of that direct communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, to be a changed person, to be an elevated person as a result, it's a game changer. Derek Drush, where this comes from is from the Lashon Pasuk we saw before. Vayamod merachok. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did his job and put us standing straight, ready to be makabel, but the richuk sometimes it remains and is up to us to overcome and to conquer. The significance of Bochar Ba'am Yisro B'Ava is that you can take all the x-rays and all the MRIs and all the CAT scans, and I just don't have the same kishkas as everybody else. If you look inside of me, I'm not the same person. And if I was, I wouldn't be sitting here for days upon end, hours, day and night, with my head in a pile of books, talking to a God that I can't even see, sometimes feeling exhausted and exhilarated all the time, at the same time, because I'm loving it. It wouldn't be shaykh. It wouldn't be shaykh. If you're sitting here, you know what I'm talking about. I remember, probably when I was about your age, Rabbi Mendelsohn from MTA gave a Sikhs Muslim in the Old Base Medrash. And he quoted Rabbi Elias Svei at the time. Rosh Yeshiva of Philly. He asked these psukim that we're discussing, Zechir's Maimar Sinai, so a mitzvah every single day? Mitzvah Saseh? What does that do with me? I wasn't there. Yom HaShem Ramadta, what's my shaykhs? So Rabbi Elias explained that every Ben Torah at some point along the way, every Ben Torah has experienced in his own right that epiphany, the sudden clarity and understanding and vision, why it was so clear to him, the infinite and transcendent value of spending every single time, moment I can, absorbing and becoming enraptured with every sweet word of Torah that I can get my hands on. It's Pasha. My own personal Maimar Sinai occurred at some point. That's what I have to keep revisiting. The moment when the heavens opened up and the coals of Ruach were right in front of my face, my own personal Maimar Sinai, where I felt that I thought I have a different set of kishkas inside now. So what's Lamai Sirvosya? Don't have that much time, and frankly, it's very difficult. Very difficult to talk about this, because you can't speak ba'ofen hashav al chol nefesh on these inyanim, I think. Ben Yonah writes, do me a favor. Both in Pirkei Avos and Shari Tshuva, he says, pshat im ein ani li mili means that if you can go hear all the Sikhs Musar you want, and you can get all excited and inspired, at least next week, I don't know about this week. But if I don't take the initiative, when it's all over, to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and give some serious thought and contemplation to what I just heard, so then probably I'm just going to be whispering to the guy next to me about the funny story that I heard, in the midst of 20 minutes. That's Mamash Batola. So go back and learn Nightsider. Don't waste time with Sifat Musar. If Eina Nili Nili, you have to take the initiative. So everyone's got to go home on their own. On their own Nisyonis. But in general terms, 2 minutes. We want to feel the awareness of the Chelek HaLakam Imal that comes as a result of Torah being the Pnimiyas HaNefesh. In a palpable way to feel Ritzonei Nolasos Ritzonfa. But it can start from the outside in also. If we get in the habit of asking ourselves a different set of questions when we evaluate our actions and our decision making. Lomashal, guy's dating. Someone tells him, go to this place. It's a good date place. Lots of people go there. Okay. You know it's a place where, shall we say, tznius is not regarded as the highest value. Okay. So make a decision that reflects your inseparable connection to Torah values, even if others don't. Don't take things for granted, because as a result, you end up taking yourself for granted. And that's what we're trying to debunk. Khan recently spoke here about the way we speak, Nivul Peh, and the categories of Chazal, foul language. Just to build on that, there are words sometimes that people use that aren't technically in either of those categories. But we still have to resist the usage because they just don't reflect the refinement, the Litzarifus Abrios that Chazal described in the mitzvos and the deeply rooted Ruchnius that we have inside of ourselves. The fact that everybody uses a word, even if it's not a bad word, don't take that for granted and don't take yourself for granted. Instead, ask, does the way I speak reflect the core commitment to the nobility of Torah that I carry around with myself at every moment? And Eitzah, perhaps, some of these in Yonam are lofty to bring the Matan Torah and the Chelek HaLakam Imal here down to earth. So to battle the sense of distance a little bit, as a Talmud of Yeshiva, and those of you guys who know me, you know that I see myself very much as a member of the Beis Medrash, regardless of what they write under my name. Hardly a day goes by that I don't think about the fact that we have such a schus, great blessing that we have, that I have, to have so many special rebbeim here. Each one of us. Ashreinu. Again, the same way we asked before, are we passively observing our Masorah? Or are we active players in receiving the Masorah from them, which is also a chelek of Matan Torah? You got to use that question to ask yourself, is this a way that I had ever heard my Rebbe speak? Ever? That should be the question. Does the model of my Rebbe as an individual who lives his Torah and lives his life in that elevated fashion, would he do this? Would he go there? Would he make the same lifestyle decision? I have to say this, but do I know my Rebbe well enough to be able to answer that question? Well, so you're only here for a couple years. If you don't get the answer to that question while you're here, it's a lot harder when you leave. Do I have a Rebbe who I can call my Rebbe to use as a barometer for those questions? Higher she'ifas, Rebbe Osai. Higher she'ifas and aspirations. Not condescending, Chas v'Shalom. Not condescending. Chas v'Shalom. On the contrary, the more we pick ourselves up, our friends will respect us and search and seek the same goals that we try for. But it's what everyone does, taking ourselves for granted, that's the danger. That's what has to no longer be part of our vocabulary and barometer for making those decisions. It's robbing ourselves of the kivas elokim litov that's really within our reach. Whatever nisyonos may be, whatever your nisyonos may be, for some people, it's a question of which minion do I decide to daven at in the morning. Okay, it's a big minion, but that's the minion for me? That's the speed? I'm getting to base medish. I get there at 9, I get there at 9:20. It's whatever. Okay, it doesn't matter. The barometer of my own, the yardstick that's what's inside of myself, that's what really counts. Because that's the one that's inspired and dictated in the Pnimiyas HaNefesh through Matan Torah in the way that it transformed all of Israel. Thank you.